Hello, little listeners. Welcome to Open Window Stories. I'm your storyteller, Meredith Goodwin. Today's story is called Mermaid Wishes. Just a reminder before we get started today, these episodes are pre-recorded for the next few months while I'm on maternity leave, so any new reviews or emails I get won't be read on the podcast until after I get back. Thank you so much to everyone who has continued to tune in and listen to these stories. Stick around at the end of the episode to hear about other ways to support the podcast. Okay, little listeners? Ready for Once Upon a Time? Let's go. Mermaid Wishes. Once upon a time, very long ago, and well beneath the surface of the sea, there lived the great Queen Mermaid Nerissa and her little princess Nerida. Every night, before Queen Nerissa put the tiny princess in her bed, she would sing her the enchanting lullabies of the sea. Then she would braid into her hair the wishes and spells of the sea people. The queen's hair was always twisted and braided and charmed, thrumming with the voices and songs of her people. During the day, Nerissa and Nerida swam out into the deep, wide sea to all the merfolk. If anyone had a wish or spell that needed special attention, they would offer it to Nerissa. The most important wishes and spells the queen would take back with them to keep safe in her hair. Nerida loved her mother's hair. Lovely, long and black, with its twisting coils and charms, it seemed to her that it didn't just hold wishes and spells, but all the magic of the sea together. When Nerida got older, she would listen to her mother's lullabies as she was rocked to sleep and tried to braid her own wishes into Queen Nerissa's hair, until she fell asleep with her tiny fingers tangled in its coils. For a while, Nerida didn't realize you could sing without braiding your hair at the same time. So when she swam about the anemone garden singing to herself, she would always try to braid into her hair whatever she was singing about. Her attempts were clumsy, however, and usually the song or wish just fell out. Nerida began to collect the wishes that she wanted, rather than attempt to weave them into her own hair. At bedtime, she brought them to Queen Nerissa. "Mommy, when you sing our lullabies, will you add these wishes to your hair?" asked Nerida. "Of course, my sweetheart," Nerissa answered. "But these are your very own special wishes. Do you not want them in your own hair? You're old enough, I think, to begin to look after your own wishes and spells." Nerida shook her head. "I tried to braid them in myself," she admitted, "but they all fell out." Nerissa smiled, gathering Nerida in her arms for her lullaby. "You will learn in time. Until then, you may add them to my hair yourself." That night, as Nerissa sang, Nerida carefully took each of her wishes and knotted them tightly into Nerissa's hair. She fell asleep with her hands curled around the three wishes. When Queen Nerissa put her down in her little bed, the wishes stayed tight. "Good wishing, little one," whispered the queen as she swam off to her own bed. The next morning, Nerida excitedly looked in the queen's hair to see if her wish knots held fast. They did. She was so excited, she swam off to the anemone garden to look for one to try in her own hair. She found a pearly purple seashell just right for holding a small wish and began to try to knot it in her hair, just as she had with the other wishes the night before, singing as she did. But after she swam the length of the garden, the shell fell out. "What am I doing wrong?" Nerida said to herself. She tried again and again and again until her hair stuck out at all angles, tangled by her efforts in the sea current. But the seashell stubbornly fell out. When she brought the seashell to Queen Nerissa at lullaby time, the queen tisked over Nerida's hair. "My love," she chided, as she combed out the teased tangles, "if your hair is not ready to bear wishes and spells, you must not try to force it." "But I want to carry wishes like you, Mama," Nerida said sadly. "And you will. But a first wish is a heavy thing. You will know when you have found it. Most often it is given to you. Mermaids, especially mermaid queens and princesses, our duty is to carry the wishes and spells of others. We rarely carry our own. Do you understand, darling?" Nerissa smiled down at Nerida in her lap. "Look," she said, pulling a comb out of her hair and letting a lock tumble down into Nerida's hand. "This was my first wish that I carried. It was a beautiful and ornate golden charm with a blue barnacle growing on one side. It still held fast in the long lock of Nerida's hair. It was given to me by a whale pod wishing for safe passage on their winter migration, and my mother helped me weave it in my hair. When you find or are given the wish that will be your first to grace your hair, bring it to me. I will help you braid it in." Then Queen Nerissa wrapped Nerida's hair up in seaweed to heal it from the clumsy efforts of the day and sang her to sleep with the lullabies of the sea. Nerida began to understand that the responsibilities of bearing wishes and spells were more than just magic. The wishes she had been gathering had been trivial things, pretty wishes, light wishes. Wishes like, I wish for cake for dinner, or I wish for late bedtime tonight. Narita began to feel silly. They were not bad wishes, just small, wishes that a mother held for a daughter, but nothing more. Narita grew from a small child into an older one, all the while listening to the wishes of the merfolk and the sea creatures that Queen Nerissa took in. She listened when people approached her mother, but she never went forward to accept one as her own. She felt that a wish would come to her. She still listened to the queen's lullabies every night, and she practiced weaving in the new wishes until Nerissa's hair was teeming with charms, shells, combs, and stars, and many more. Narita's hair remained loose and wild, unbound by even a single comb. Narita began to fear her first wish would never come. When Narita turned 13, she was given the job of accompanying the manta rays on their great swim across the ocean. It was a big task. Narita was nervous to be away from home for so long, but she knew the manta rays would be glad of her protection, and she knew that ensuring their safety was important to the merfolk, for the manta rays carried merfolk song far and wide to all the seven seas. The night before the great swim, there was a grand party. All the merfolk came from across the sea to wish the mantas a swift journey. With pomp and ceremony, the manta rays presented Queen Nerissa with a luminous pearl charm that held the wish of a safe journey. Narita took her place and wove the large pearl into her mother's long hair. Then she sat in her throne next to Queen Nerissa to watch the manta's traditional dance. After the dance, a small bait fish timidly approached Narita. "Hello, friend of the manta," Narita greeted it. "How are you enjoying the festivities?" "Princess Narita," the baitfish bowed, "as you know, my school accompanies the mantas on their great swim. We are grateful for your presence on our great journey and would like to request the honor of your wish for our safety as well." The baitfish held high a small golden ring with swirling designs etched into its edges and placed it in Narita's hand. The ring felt heavy to Narita, much heavier than it looked. It must have held the wishes of the entire school of baitfish.
"Thank you," Narita returned the bow.
"I will make sure my mother gets this." "If it pleases the princess," the baitfish replied. "But the wish we wanted to present to you." Narita stared at the ring as the baitfish swam away. When Nerissa was singing to Narita that night, Narita brought out the baitfish ring. "Mother," she said, "the baitfish school gave this to me today. They would also like protection for the manta great swim. May I weave it into your hair?" Nerissa looked at the ring in Narita's hand. "Of course, my love," Nerissa nodded. "But I think the baitfish wanted you to bear their wish." Narita thought for a moment. "Does this mean a wish found me, mother?" "Yes, I think it does," Nerissa said solemnly. "But you don't have to decide to bear it. If you feel you are not ready, you may braid it into my hair." "I want it," Narita said decidedly. "I will accompany the mantas and bear the wish of the baitfish. I will miss you, mother." Nerissa smiled. "Darling, I will miss you too. I am proud of you. You will do wonderfully with the manta swim. You are strong enough to bear the baitfish safety as well." With that, Queen Nerissa braided the baitfish wish into Narita's hair. It held there for the entire journey, and every day after that. As she grew, Narita bore more wishes, until gradually the queen no longer took new wishes or spells, and Narita assumed her place as the protector of the sea, as her mother and grandmother and her grandmother's mother had done before her. The end. Thank you for listening to Open Window Stories. This podcast was written, read, and produced by me, Meredith Goodwin. Accompanying art is also by me. Music for the intro and outro of this podcast is by David McLeod. If you love today's story, please, please ask your parents to give it 5 stars and write a review in Apple Podcasts. It's the best way to help keep this podcast growing so I can keep bringing you stories. Don't forget to tell your friends. Our next story will come out on Apple Podcasts on May 9th or May 3rd if you're on Patreon. Until then, check out our art on Instagram at Open Window Stories. Parents and teachers, if you're interested in supporting our show further, we're on Patreon, where you can subscribe to listen ad-free and a week early, access free teacher resources like coloring pages and discussion questions, join the sticker club, and more. We're also on TeePublic, where you can buy shirts, mugs, stickers, or anything else you could possibly want to buy with Open Window Stories pictures on them. If you want to write to me, you can at bigstorieslittlepeople@gmail.com. I love hearing from listeners. Until next time, little friends.